to him. Today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Pei Beis Chulin 82. And on today's Daf Yomi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses the idea that, in, according to our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon had said that if somebody slaughters an Egla Rufa, which is a calf that was taken down into a Nachal, and the calf had an axe brought to the back of its neck, because the elders of the town were unable to find the murderer of a person whose dead body was found on the outskirts of the city. So such a person came, and if the person came and slaughtered this Egla Rufa, which was supposed to be killed in the Nachal, but the person did a Shlita, and under such circumstances, a person will be exempt from the prohibition of Osovi Espino, of slaughtering a mother and its offspring on the same day, because we say it's a Shlita She'ena Re'uyahi. It's not a valid slaughter, and so therefore it's not going to be considered a slaughter. So therefore, a person's not going to be in violation of this prohibition. So on today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara questions this: Ve'egla rufa lav shchita re'uyahi. Really, is it the case that if a person slaughters an Egla Rufa, that's not going to be a valid slaughter? But we have a Mishnah in Sota, and the Mishnah in Sota 47a teaches us with respect to the Egla Rufa that if a person has designated a calf for the Arifa, for the breaking of its neck, and Nimtza HaHoreg Ad Shloti Arif, but before the Chazal, before the Bezdin were able to come and be ma'arif the neck, before they were able to bring the axe to the back of the neck, they found the murderer. So then we say, as long as the calf was not yet killed, then we say that the calf can go and graze in the field, meaning to say, like all other chulin, like all other non-sacred animals, that they no longer need to break the neck of the calf, because the whole idea of why we are breaking the neck of this calf is as a kapara, because as an atonement, because we don't know who the murderer is. And so therefore we see from here that under these circumstances, and this is why it's a question on our Mishnah, we see that the only time we're going to say that this Egla Rufa is going to be prohibited to derive any benefit from it is after the breaking of the neck. But prior to the breaking of the neck, that the animal could theoretically return to its state as a regular animal, which one can derive benefit, like in a situation where one finds a murderer. And so too, therefore, if a person has slaughtered this Egla prior to the breaking of the neck, then we could say it should be permitted to eat, and it's a valid slaughter. So why does Rabbi Shimon say a person is going to be exempt under those circumstances because of Osovi Espino for the slaughter? So comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara gives an answer. Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yanai Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah. So Rabbi Lakish says in the name of Rabbi Yanai that this teaching of Egla Rufa is not a Mishnah. It's not a teaching. Meaning to say, we have to remove this position of Rabbi Shimon who says that you're exempt for Osovi Espino under those circumstances, and that's just not true. Rabbi Shimon didn't say that. Even that our Mishnah is wrong. Ain't a Mishnah. It's not a teaching. Because even Rabbi Shimon himself would admit that a person is going to be in violation of the slaughter of Osovi Espino in doing an Egla Rufa, because it is, according to Rabbi Shimon, a valid slaughter. So the Gemara says, does Rabbi Yanai really say this? Me Amar Rabbi Yanai Hachiva Amar Rabbi Yanai, but Rabbi Yanai taught himself. Does Rabbi Yanai really have the position that prior to the breaking of the neck of the Egla Rufa, that is permitted to have benefit from it while it's alive, and it's a valid slaughter? But Rabbi Yanai himself taught, that Rabbi Yanai himself taught in Kedushin and in Zayin Amud Aleph 57a with respect to an Egla Rufa, that we say is prohibited to derive benefit from it, that the Egla Rufa is not going to be prohibited and benefit immediately, but it's going to be prohibited at a certain point. Gvul Shamati Ba. He says, I once heard a border, a distinction. V'shachachti, I forgot what the distinction was. I didn't know at what point the Egla Rufa, even while it's alive, became prohibited to derive benefit from it. V'nas bin Chavrai. And then what happened was, my friends who were studying with me, students, really, Rashi says to Zevachim, there it's explained that they are students, and therefore, Kamin the Chevra is the Bnei Chabura, and they reminded me what it was. They said, what's the distinction? Yiridaso Enachal Etan Osarta, that the moment where it becomes prohibited is the moment where it descends into the Nachal Etan. There's two main opinions about what Nachal Etan is. Maybe it's an area which was never, never, ever cultivated, or maybe it could be a flowing river. So that moment, the ego arufa is going to be permitted to derive benefit from it until the moment that it descends into the Nachal Eitan. But once it descends, even before the neck is broken, then we say that it is prohibited to derive benefit. So the Gemara asks the question, Vim Isa Lishne Kan Kodem Yirida V'Kan L'Achar Yirida. We have a very good answer. Why don't we say, we say that this Mishnah is a valid Mishnah, but when do we say that you're no longer going to be in violation of Oso L'Espino? One is after it went down into the Nachal Eitan, but prior to it going down into the Nachal Eitan, you would still be in violation. So the Gemara's answer to that question is Amar of Pinchas Mishnah. We learn this in the name of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who says, "Eglarufa ina mishnah." He says, "No, we're not following Rabbi Yanai, who drew this distinction." And the Gemara's initial answer to this question is that Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree with that gavul, and he would say immediately that unlike Rabbi Yanai, who was able to draw this distinction, but however, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish himself would not draw that distinction, and so therefore he would say that one can always redeem the animal, and so therefore that it's not true that you would be pater for an egel arufa. But we see from here this basic teaching that there is this concept, even for egel arufa, that the rabbis are of the opinion that even though that they say that they're not sure who the murderer is, they believe in the possibility that they still have a lot of work to do, and they can never give up. Even though they're going to be going through this ritual of the red heifer, they have to go to the end of the world to try and find justice and find the person who murdered this person. The search for the murderer must never end. And that's the idea behind this concept of the egel arufa.